want to head off at the pass. I've heard the accusation a few times already this morning that this is going to be the same talk that I gave 2 years ago. And I want to say it's not the same talk. It will have a lot of the same words in it. But it's a different talk, I promise. Those of you who were unfortunate enough to sit through my talk 2 years ago in Prague, I spoke about packages that were complex and difficulties in packaging software that is complex. And the primary example, not the only example, but the primary example was QMail, which is why there is some similarity here. But there were also other examples in that talk, and in this one I want to focus less on the nuts and bolts and more on the high level of the situation with DJB software and package source. So like I said, this should have a lot of similar words, but not the same talk. And the question that's on all your minds right now is, why should you care? This is probably not the reason. But it's possible. This is more likely. This is for sure. But it's a bit of a logical leap from one to the other. And this one, I think, will get you involved. Whichever side you fall on, you have a good reason to feel superior about your opinion. And we'll come to that later in the talk. There's evidence for both sides. So what is DJBware anyway? I'm going to use it to refer to software written by the infamous Dan Bernstein. And it has a certain set of common characteristics that you can... If someone hands you a piece of code and you've seen Bernstein software before, you can pretty quickly tell that that's what it is. The style of his code, his own library functions, the way that he architects programs to fit together, he has his own build and installation processes, and then the way he writes documentation is not so much with the manual pages anymore, some weird web page hierarchy that nobody's going to adopt, that's what he does. Another issue with DJB software is that commonly people misunderstand the rules under which they're allowed to or not allowed to redistribute the software. It's not actually a property of the software itself, but it's an issue that has to be talked about when you talk about the software. And it did affect package source for quite some time also. And then related to that, related to the redistribution misunderstandings that exist, the third-party packages that have been made are often of poor quality. This points to the FreeBSD ports tree. Look at their QMail ports sometime, not after you've eaten recently. And just the make file is like a gigantic if statement, 47 of them. Or non-existent, this points to the OpenBSD mailing list archive. They had a big blow up, I guess it was 2001, 2002, where they decided they were just gonna remove all of their DJB ports from the ports tree rather than deal with whatever the license might be. Yeah.
Forgive me, I just don't understand what you mean by third-party
package. Basically any package. Because DJB refers to his software as packages. It's a little bit, it's nomenclature. You know, again, he has his own way of looking at the world. So when I say third-party package, I mean package source packages, FreeBSD ports, OpenBSD ports, Debian, etc. What's DJBware also? It's a word that I made up, so I'm going to make up some other definitions for it also. Here's one. It's software written by other authors under the influence, which means that there's influence in the implementation, e.g. the code style, and also in the interface, which in the DJB world is actually a big deal because almost everything that he writes is a small program in the Unix tradition that does one thing and does it very well. And so his goal and the goal of the people that are under his influence is that eventually you have a large set of small programs that you can fit together to do any number of things, very much in the Unix style. And so that affects the interface that people design their programs with. Usually when other people write software in his style, it usually has a license. Often it's GPL. I may have seen a BSD or something. Some of them actually use his code, and then they're sort of understood that they're under the same license as his. And some of his code is public domain, which is then worked into other people's projects. But for the most part, you're looking at GPL when other people write software in this style. And you can call this secondary DJBeware. I'm going to. So the point is, like I was just saying, if you buy into this, then you get a whole ecosystem of small programs that fit together with any of the other programs. So how much software is this really? I mean, he hasn't been writing anything for years, and how many devotees of this crazy guy could possibly exist? Well, here's what we have in package source. These are the this is the software that is actually written by DJB that we have packages for. And the secondary DJBeware, the word that I just made up, as you can see, there's quite a lot. And what? Yeah, that's we've been using that on ftp.nfbsd.org to test the memory issues. That's written by the author of Getmail, which I'm updating all the time. It's another conversation. Yeah, so these are all written by people influenced by DJB, or the software itself fits into niches that fit well with DJB software. So it's not so much an ecosystem, it's kind of more of a zoo. There's a heck of a lot of stuff, and it's a little bit wild. And there's more that we don't have in package source yet. There's probably 8 or 10 more in package source WIP that haven't been integrated into package source yet, and more that's in neither place. So it's worth going to some trouble to make it easier to package these crazy beasts. Is there perchance some common code available? I'm glad you asked. So 2 years ago, as part of my talk, I presented this new file that had been created, I guess it was late March of 2005, so about a month before 2005 Package Source Con. It did a few things. One is that by default it would set restricted with some descriptive message that would explain what the restrictions are for redistributing DJBeware. Historically, prior to this, we had had kind of a one-by-one, case-by-case restricted clause in packages that were under this non-license, as it were. Some would say restricted. The text was sometimes a little bit different. Some would say no bin on FTP. Some would say no source on FTP. Again, there were misunderstandings about what were allowed and what wasn't. We had some no package for a while, which we've managed to get rid of, thankfully, because it doesn't really have much information other than don't even try, but doesn't say why not. And at this point, we have restricted instead in all these cases. And this way, each package that uses djbeware.mk by default is restricted and has this standard string. Likewise, because of DJB's strange build systems, you don't want to leave the build and install target at the defaults. Instead, they need their own special default, and a couple of them will override that, but that's for the most part what they need. There's no GNU configure scripts to be found in this world. They're all little one-line text files that say what your compiler is, what your linker is, what paths you want to install into, that sort of stuff. And so we populate those by default with the values that they probably need to have. A couple packages have additional files with this naming that we don't know about, and so they have to handle those one or two by themselves. But for the most part, we cover all the bases in this one central location. Oh, and also this, compared to what we had historically, DJBeware packages on a case-by-case basis would have a do configure target that would set up these conf files, or a post-patch, or a pre-configure. And most of them quoted things the same way, but not quite all of them. And that was actually one of the primary motivators for making a common set of code for DJBeware, is that there were dozens of packages that were configuring in almost but not quite the same way, and they really ought to have been the same way. And that's where the idea started, is with this. DJB, being the crazy renegade programmer that he is, defines this one variable directly as an int instead of pulling in the header that describes it properly. In most cases it's fine. Under glibc, newer than a certain number, it no longer builds. So there's a pretty standard fix for that, which is pull in the header instead of defining it yourself. And so we do that on we do that where it's required. There's a package option for it. And as I said, simplified a bunch of package make files. 2 years later, you would think a lot has been done. But, well, some has. So we took what had been just a Boolean variable, and when package options was introduced, that suddenly became a much better way to deal with it. So I changed that that bit of sed that changes the definition of the error number to a package option. And you can say that you want it, you can say that you don't want it, same way as any other package option. Greg Troxel has been doing license sweeps for a good long time now. A little over a year ago, he suggested to me that we put in something to the effect that there is no license on DJV software, and the nearest thing we can do in package source to say that is to call that the non-license license, which is what we did. And there's a little bit of text in there that refers to the web page for DJV's redistribution requirements, information for would-be distributors, and the rationale for why he doesn't have a license, which is his understanding of U.S. software law is that he can't remove any of your rights as a software user by having a license. So, and because the software is distributed under U.S. jurisdiction, he doesn't think he needs it. So that's all explained in this non-license file, which you have to, as a license, you have to accept before you can have the software installed. Since 2 years ago, we've also added a little bit of code into the djbware.mk file that handles some common cases of secondary djbware. For instance, there's a fellow named Bruce Gunter that has written qmailqfilter, which lets you filter things at SMTP time, bglibs, a whole bunch of software that fills some niches that if DJB were still writing software, he might have written things like this. So we take care of a lot of those centrally by now. And I've had some help from people in this room with, for instance, the AirNo hack. We needed to allow that to apply to additional files. And York took care of that one. Where is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, there. And Roland did some quoting fixes, as always. Thanks for that. You probably forgot. if you want your credit removed, I can do that. there is one new thing that has come out of the exciting mind of DJV in the last few years, which is the Daemon Tools package has a different installation scheme from all the previous software. He has this new idea that all software should go under a slash package hierarchy, and that there's even an install process that goes along with that. It's very interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting. So we have a little bit of awareness of that, just so that we can get Daemon Tools built and installed, but we don't really fully honor it. We do enough to get it built, and then we manually install things where we want them, which isn't perfect. I would like to eventually honor the default paths that he wants, but make use of symlinks to get them actually under prefix as well, which is what we do with qmail, for instance. So where are things today? Very few patches by default. That patch for glibc is one, but it's a no-op on any platform other than that glibc. I think there's one or two for mess 822. There's a patch so that it will build on OS 10 because there's a struct that's not initialized, and OS 10's compiler insisted it be initialized. But there are very few patches, and I would like to work towards zero because that's one of the things we need to do if we want to redistribute binary packages. Likewise, the path issue, as I just mentioned about Daemon Tools. We have a solution to this in the qmail package that is generalizable, which is QMail wants to install everything under var QMail, and there are various subdirectories under that. What we do for that is there's an install script that runs before QMail's installer that creates var QMail and creates symlinks for each of those subdirectories that the installer is going to expect to create. It's going to put them there first and make them point into the hierarchy that package source and FBSD users expect. Then the installer simply has to follow the symlinks. So it thinks, and after the installation is done, the binaries and man pages, etc., are available through the paths that the QMail installer expected, that DJB expected, that the documentation will state. But the files are actually registered in package source as being under user package or what have you. And it respects package sysconfder, and it respects varbase, and so on and so forth. So this is something we can do in general. For instance, a lot of the software wants to install into user local, which is a much simpler case. And if we change that to user package by default, then we're running afoul of this redistribution requirement, which is that it has to be exactly what a user would get if they downloaded the source themselves and compiled with the defaults. So as soon as we change user local to user package, that's a binary package we can't redistribute. So what I would like to do is something like we do with QMail, where we leave it as user local, and then in the very common case where user local isn't the prefix that we're installing to, then we have symlinks that go to user package. And that way we can satisfy both package source users' expectations and DJB's expectations.
Are you optional?
Yes, exactly. And it would be an option, and in a bulk build, for instance, it would be off by default, so that it would do the symlinks. And then anybody that knew what they were doing could say, just give me my path and stop screwing around. So by default, we would be in compliance, and then a savvy user can avoid the headache. Thanks to the package options framework, we have, especially in DJBware, where you get features via patches, this is extremely helpful. Obviously, it can't make conflicting patches get along, but a surprising number of useful ones don't conflict. I have something like 8 patches applied via package options on my production QMail, and I don't have to do anything. I just type make, and I get it. So that's very helpful. Thanks to Jorg, he persuaded me that I should allow QMail to build a binary package, even though it wasn't quite functional yet, which I'll come to in a little bit. But building it in a bulk build allows us to test also in a bulk build all the packages that depend on it, which there's a good handful. And so it used to be that there would be a dozen or 2 dozen packages in every bulk build output that were just broken because they were depending on QMail and we weren't packaging QMail in a bulk build. So as soon as we started doing that, we were testing those as well, which was a good move. Just toot my own horn for a second. One of the weird things about DJBware is the way that he expects you to manage the daemon processes. He writes his software to stay in the foreground and log the standard error, and he expects you to use his tools to catch the standard error and write it to a file, and have one master process that keeps track of all these children in the foreground. Also, that's very interesting, but I have this NetBSD system that I use, and it has this rc.d subsystem that I like, and so I wanted to fit QMail into that. And so we have scripts that manage QMail in a NetBSD-like style that are available in a QMail run package, and we have a similar set of scripts for DJB DNS in a DJB DNS run package. And those are clearly marked as add-ons. They're not in the QMail package proper, so we don't have to worry about confusing anybody whether that's part of QMail or not. And these days, thanks to a lot of conversations with a lot of people, it's pretty clear where we stand, what we would have to do if we want to redistribute binaries, what we don't have done yet, what we do have done yet, what the risks are. We're getting there. So that's what it's like in package source. Let's look at what it's like elsewhere. FreeBSD, some of their lower level dependencies, like the TCP tool that Bernstein wrote, those are okay packages. The QMail one, like I said, is a horrible mess. It will make your eyes bleed. Even if you actually like QMail, like me, it still makes your eyes bleed. So they're so-so. OpenBSD just doesn't have them. There are some unofficial ones. I don't think they've been updated in years. Right. Yeah, that's true. But the third-party patches, they're not keeping up with. Gentoo, as usual, has no taste, and their package is not very good. There's this procedure document that's called Life with QMail that if you are subscribed to the QMail list and you want to get those people who are old and ornery and a bit rude to help you if you have problems, then you have to have followed this document when you installed it. It's not enough to download QMail from DJB, read his install document, and do what he says. It's a start, but it's not enough. You have to follow this Life with QMail document that was written by a bunch of the old timers from the mailing list. And if you don't, they'll tell you, get rid of whatever you installed, install Life with QMail, see if that fixes your problem. If not, then you can ask us. They're not very nice people. Some of you may remember from my talk 2 years ago what I had to deal with them regarding our package. So this is, it's a set of instructions, and you could theoretically make a shell script that did all the things. It's weird, they give you a shell script to check that what you did is what they said to do, but they don't give you a script to do it. It's not very nice. Then there's NetQMail, which is by mostly the same people. They have put together a very small number of very small patches that they describe as the bare minimum that everybody needs these days to apply to QMail. So it's kind of like a package. You download a tarball. Because of the restrictions, you cannot distribute a new tarball called QMail or a different tarball that is a modified QMail. So what they do is they have a tarball that contains a patch file, a shell script to apply it, and the QMail tarball inside it. So it's a little bit packagish, but what you wind up doing is applying this patch and then building QMail like you did before. QMail Rocks is for some reason really popular, but it's crap, and every time somebody posts to the list that something doesn't work, a high percentage of the time it's because they're using this. So on that one count, I do agree with the Life with QMail guys. That is a crappy package. Debian is worth looking at. They have some very good packages of QMail and the related software, but of course they have their own license crusade that they're on, and so the packages will never be included. There's a binary package and there's a source package, both of which are very well done, and I've learned a lot from looking at them. But this is where I think we can jump off and get ahead even of this package, but that Debian has. So we have this occasional problem that when people update the results of their bulk builds, sometimes the DJBware makes it onto NBFTP. We don't really want that to happen. I haven't completely bothered to get around to figuring it out, but it's probably because instead of saying restricted explicitly in the package make files, it's being set in djbware.mk, and whatever does the scanning isn't actually parsing the whole make tree.
I think that problem is fixed
Is it?
because
I've still seen some.
I think right now we are finally using the restricted
Okay.
variable as it ends up in the package to decide whether or not to upload it. Before, yes, there was some magic wrapping going on that often went wrong.
Well, so we should maybe remove this one from the talk after checking that it's really been fixed. That's cool. New patches continue to come out because DJB is not the only software author in the world, thankfully. So other people come up with things that solve problems they have, and from time to time, they're of general utility and well done, and we have to add options to include them in our build. Now that we do have binary packages of QMail, we need to fix them to actually work if you install them on a system that has different numeric user IDs and group IDs from the one where it was compiled. This is DJB at his finest. Doesn't want to trust the output of a user ID lookup at runtime. He wants the numeric IDs compiled in to the binary. So the obvious thing to do is at install time, edit the binaries and change the numbers in them to the system that you have. So, and he even provides a tool for it. in the QML tarball that you can, and instructions for one kind of system and hints on how to find it on other kinds of systems. It's something that we could do. Obviously, that would change the package checksums. So that's why I haven't got around to it yet, because we would have to find a way to mollify the package tool.
Just modify the package.
Right. Just. Exactly. So haven't bothered with that yet either. Maybe worth going to the trouble of fully supporting this harebrained slash package idea, just so that we can say that we do, and also because if you look at the daemon tools package make file, we're working too hard because we're installing it our own way. If we would just let him do the work and then make it compatible in the way that we need, it'd be easier. As I mentioned before, by default we need to leave the paths the way that they were distributed. Don't patch. And this is something I think we have the technology to do now, to detect if anything has been changed from the default, and if so, this includes things like local patches. If anything has been applied to the freshly extracted tarball as part of the build, then we automatically set restricted. And in general, the goal here is, of course, that we want to be able to distribute binary packages without having any technical reasons that we can't. Yeah.
My question is, why are you actually trying hard to distribute the binary package if it's practically unusable without even the recommended set of patches?
I'm crazy. it is pretty usable with the bare minimum. I disagree with the NetQML folks. Like if you have very basic needs, if you have needs such that installing a mail server, for instance, from binary packages does what you want, then your needs are pretty basic, in my opinion. Especially in a world like the DJB world, I think it's pretty common to build from source and expect to have to do some modifying. And package source is kind of ideal for that, because we cater to the source mentality, but we also automate a lot of the complicated parts. So I think it's worth, almost for aesthetic, artistic reasons, to be able to do it the right way by default, and then also make it easy to do what practical people actually need in practical situations. Yeah, yeah.
With the setting restricted, I've actually looked up, and does that prevent upload, or does that prevent package being made?
It doesn't prevent it being made, and it actually has no behavioral effect unless you then set no bin or something. What, Jure?
I don't think we have any case of no package left in the tree anymore. And if there is one, it must die.
Right. There's no reason to not build things. There may be reasons to not publish them, which is a separate issue. But we never find out if there are technical problems if we don't even try to build them. If you set restricted, that doesn't actually change the behavior, like I was saying. If you set restricted and then you set no bin on FTP to restricted, then if you try to upload something, then it will tell you why not, and that will be what restricted says. So that's how that works. Okay. So, distribute binary packages? Exactly. Why? Well, we're pretty close to meeting the requirements, as it turns out. This is what it says on that web page that it's linked to. If installing your packages produces exactly the same files in exactly the same locations that a user would get by following the default instructions, it behaves the same as it would in other systems. And here's this last one. This is the kicker. We had an early start in this conversation last night, some of us. Whoopsie. Hey. Hey. Okay.
Try the other key.
There we go. So, somewhere, whoever it is that's distributing, as it says here, you may distribute a precompiled package if, and we're pretty close to that first one, there's a little bit of work to do, I've explained what that is. The second one, we're not doing anything to prevent that. And the third one, this is the tricky part. I personally don't think that's such a strong statement. It says, if I'm going to say this, I'm saying I warrant that I have made a good faith attempt to ensure that the package behaves correctly. I'm not saying that I warrant that the package behaves correctly. I'm saying I've made an attempt.
But the second one is already stronger than the second one says behaves correctly. It just says you tried.
Well, but it says the same way as on other systems. He's afraid of platform issues.
The difference is you just make good faith attempt. You don't guarantee that DJB didn't make a fault. And if his software is broken, you're not responsible for that.
Right. Nice of him, isn't it? So, warrant schmorrant. I mean, can I make that statement? Can I say that I warrant that the package has been made a good faith attempt on? Yes, but that maybe doesn't get us off the hook for the redistribution requirement, because the distributor would be the NetBSD Foundation. The package would be on the NetBSD FTP server, people would be downloading it from there. I'm the person that made it, but I'm not the redistributor. And so, according to what those restrictions said,
the creator's one. It says the creator, not the distributor.
The package is created.
Hey, cool. I'm glad we had this conversation. So maybe it is enough for me to just say somewhere on one of my web pages that I do.
It also depends on the interpretation. Who's the package creator? You as the maintainer, as the one
right.
Who was...
It existed before I did. I didn't import it. I didn't maintain it for the first part of its life. There are parts of infrastructure that it uses that I haven't been involved in.
I mean, you are the one maintaining it in package source, but the one who's creating the package might also be, for example, the bulk builder, who is actually just running make package and putting that one up.
So there's a distinction perhaps between the author of the content of the package and the builder of the actual instance of the package.
It should at the very least be clarified who should make the claim.
Well, I have to say embarrassedly that I boldly plunged ahead last year and committed a line to that effect. Into, I think it was one of the readmes in the QML package. And Greg Troxell, bless his heart, said, I don't think you want to do that. Let's have a conversation with Core and then with Board and find out if they're okay with it. Which I thought was very responsible of him. I'm glad he did that. So we had a conversation, this was about a year ago, and I basically made the same argument that, look, we're not warranting anything, we're just saying we tried. And I think to me, if you look at the CVS logs, it's pretty clear that we made a good effort. There's been a heck of a lot of work on the package to bring it into some semblance of order, and I don't see why not, you know? But I'm not a lawyer. And the upshot of the conversation with the foundation, with Board, is that it's a liability that they were afraid of. And with a wild card personality like DJB, you might think there's no reason that he would actually sue us, but you can never be sure what he's going to do next. So, I understand, but I'm sad. Yeah. So anyway, back to the feeling superior that'll help me get over the sadness. If you don't use DJB word at all, you might find this hilarious, and you can look at how I'm wasting my time, and you're too clever to waste your time with all this crap. If you do use DJB word, people who aren't using package source are working too hard. And either way, if you use package source, you can take some pride in the state of things for DJB word. Even if you don't use it, even if you have no interest in it, it's something that we do pretty well compared to a lot of other package systems. Something that happened recently is, I guess it was about a month or two ago, there was a conversation on the QMail list saying that NetQMail is great, it has a few patches that pretty much everybody needs, but what about things like SMTP authentication and SSL? Right now those aren't in NetQMail. So let's get together and figure, or LDAP, things like that. Let's get a few of the more senior members of the list together. Let's put our heads together. Let's figure out which handful of patches to implement which handful of common things we should sign off on. And it never went anywhere. I wanted to be involved, but I didn't want to make a lot of effort. And the reason for that is that package source has had this for a long time. If you go into QMail and you do a make show options, you'll see a good list of things, and those are all the patches that were being talked about, and we've had that for years. So, who needs the QMail mailing list? So, we're almost done. One thing is that you might try some of these packages sometime, because it's very easy to uninstall them. You might be surprised, you might actually like them. One of the things that annoyed me when I was a novice Unix user and handed QMail to install is how much you have to do before you can install QMail. And of course, a package system is great at dealing with that for you. Another thing that annoyed me was this weird startup script system, and again, we have something for that. So give them a whirl, and give them 10 minutes, and then uninstall them and see if it didn't hurt. This is yet another area where package source is very strong. There's always more to be done. Please help. And quit rubbernecking. You're holding up traffic. That's it. Any questions? Questions, criticisms, jokes? Yep.
I wonder, as a hobby horse of mine, so I'll ask the question, how DJB would approach the, would answer me if I said to them, look, I want to install your package twice, the existing system that's running and your new one, and I want to test that. If you won't give me one location to put it, what am I supposed to do?
If you look at his online documentation, sometimes there's sort of oblique answers to questions like that. For instance, one of his answers for a certain kind of migration is to install a second QMail for a week under var QMail 2. And then after a week passes and everything is out of the original queue, then you can install a new QMail under var QMail and get rid of the second one. And so he explicitly recommends that in certain cases.
What do you mean?
I don't remember this scenario. You have two instances. It's new to you if you install it a second time. No. Actually, he has stated recently in an interview, I think a few months ago, that he's working on QMail 2. I don't know what that means, but he said that.
But you're volunteering to package it.
Sure. Yeah.
Kind of.
All right. Thanks.